Now, I just wanted to add that what you're saying, John, is not that we go about attempting to process some kind of purification for ourselves. Because that's not what the verse says. The verse doesn't say everyone that has this hope in him begins to purify himself. It doesn't say that. The hope itself, the blessedness of being like him, being with him, accomplishes automatically that process. But I have to have my interests, my desires, focused on that hope. Or else there will be no purification.
And in light of what the brethren have been saying, if all of these verses, and we do have to move on to the confession of hope and being immovable and patient, what is absent in glory? The self, sin, Satan, and the world. What is present here are each and every one of those things. And therefore, God in his wisdom has presented to before us the confession of hope, the hope connected with this blessed one and whom we are talking about, the patience of hope, and being immovable. Because we have these things in us and around us, self, sin, Satan working together with the world, and we must progress along, as it were, having him before us, looking unto Jesus. Where is he now? The right hand of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith, but he is presently victorious at the right hand of God. So I was just wondering, unless there are any more thoughts on John, if we can look at the confession of hope.
I think this is a continuation of the thought that we have in 1 John 3. Hebrews chapter 10 deals with sanctification. Sanctifications, or to simplify it, is separation. A vessel in the Old Testament that was sanctified for the house of God was holy, purposed to be used in the house of God. So the thought of purification in 1 John 3 goes along with the thought of being sanctified. Being sanctified, we do have a confidence, we do have an access to the holies. What kind of condition should I be in kind of approaching such a high position? Well, did I have to do anything? Well, Hebrews 10 answers us that it was the shedding of the blood of Jesus once for all that gave us this access. Well, but Hebrews 10 goes on to continue afterwards that there is a hope that we have, that the confession of this hope needs us to do something. And as we always say, along with every privilege in the scripture, there is a responsibility. Peter, in his first epistle and chapter 1, tells us to be holy, for he is holy. Well, in the beginning he said that we are holy. Well, are we holy, or we need to strive to be holy? We are both. We are sanctified by the shedding of the blood of Christ, Hebrews 10, but Hebrews 10 tells us also that we need to strive. But there is the collective thought here in Hebrews chapter 10. In 1 John chapter 3, we saw an individual responsibility. In Hebrews 10, I would like to suggest that this is the collective thought of being holy, pure, but we are pure not just as individuals, but as an assembly. Well, the thought here is we are approaching the holies together as a collective group. So the responsibility falls on the same group that wants to be holy. That's why there is the thought of encouraging one another, provoking one another for love and for good works. And I'm sure as we go reveal more things of the wonderful thought of purification, the Lord will reveal to us that to be holy, we have to have a close relationship with the one who is, Revelation chapter 3 tells, the Holy One. Unless you have a close relationship, a close fellowship with the Holy One, it's a real difficult battle to be holy. So what's the easy approach? The easy approach is walk with the Lord in the good of His Word. And then you will know how to trust and obey.
So you would say Hebrews 10 is on the same line. It is the person that will bring the change in you. In Hebrews chapter 1, we have boldness to enter into the holiest of all. Who are you going to see in the holiest of all? You're going to see yourself, or you're going to see your brethren? You're going to see the Lord. The merits of the Lord appear, they fill the holy place. So it's again the same mentality, it's the person of the Christ. And the second part of it is with that hope coming up, there's the, I'm glad Bassem reminds us of the collective responsibility. And brethren, we have to get used to this collective responsibility, not forsaking the assembling together. And it is a very important exhortation for all of us to take hold of, that we need to be at the meeting. And I'm going to encourage one another. If a brother or a sister you don't see in the meeting, call them. Ask them. Provoke them. Provoke the saints for love and good work. You know what it says when it comes to the children? Provoke not your children. Don't instigate them for that, so that they will get, you know, angry and stuff like this. But when it comes to love and good works, we're asked to provoke one another. So I'm going to provoke the saints and the saints are going to provoke me. We need to be at meeting. Because in that meeting, what we are saying, because I want to connect with the hope, how could you practically take your part in the assembly by crying, Lord Jesus, come, if you're not there? The Spirit and the Bride who say come, that's the hope. But if you're not present with the company, how could you cry that cry collectively? You can't, because your interest is not there. So may the Lord help all of us to provoke one another to be at meeting, because it's over there the hope shines brighter, if you will, when you see it as a collective aspect. Glad 1 Corinthians 15 was put after Hebrews chapter 10. Because if I don't know how to do a little bit of it, I wouldn't be familiar with how to do much of it. Well, if you know how to run a mile, there is a chance for you to run 2 miles. But I can't ask you to run 10 miles unless I try it for 1 mile. So I would like to suggest that Hebrews chapter 10 is maybe the 1 mile with the help, the collective help of one another. Those that knows in a shepherding way how to provoke for good works, for love and good works. And provoking is requires some provoking brethren. And I'm glad John mentioned this, because I think having provoking brethren most of the time is a good thing. But to provoke for what? Provoke for love and for good works. Good works is required, and it's abundance of it, much of it, 1 Corinthians 15 is telling us it's really required. As we see the day approach, if you're really convinced that the day is coming very quickly, if you really know that the Lord's day is at hand, why are you not doing it? Why I'm not doing it? Oh, I think may the Lord help us. This is, when we were discussing the exercise with Brother John before the conference, he said, well, I wish that the saints would go out of the conference with a more provoked spirit to wait for the Lord in a practical way. I think this is a wonderful session to provoke one another for love and for good works.
We know that the love of the Lord Jesus never changes. So our provoking must always be done in love. The love that the Lord has shown to us when we were yet sinners, and He died for us. It should not be of a nature of condemning, but of helping, of reminding us that as believers, there is a lifestyle that we should be living that glorifies Him. And it should not provoke us to anger or to resentment or anything like that. Surely when we love the Lord, we want to please Him. And many of us here, perhaps all of us, love the Lord. But His love goes far beyond anything. We all know that. We don't have to be reminded. He loved us while we were yet sinners. And that's when He died for us. And that's a divine love that we cannot reach here. But we can display love to one another as believers. And that is the way to provoke, to encourage one another, be present at meetings, and to encourage others to trust in the Lord Jesus. I can't save a single soul. but I can talk about salvation. The Lord has to do the saving. And the Lord will save if you listen to His word and listen to those who show love to you. Not just your parents, but others too, who love you and want you to trust in the Lord Jesus. And that is a tremendous thing. If in some way, in a small way, we can illustrate or show His love to us. We're not going to die for one another, but we can show love in provoking them.